So you know how when you have a big concert, you always have like a warm-up act. So I'm the warm-up act today before our real preacher comes and shares with us. I'm going to do the biggest ever mega rewind that's ever been done at youth. It is going to blow your socks off. So just reach down, make sure your socks are there. If you're not wearing socks, shame on you. It's winter. It's cold. So here's what we've done in what I think, next to hearing the gospel, is probably the most important series of input and teaching you will ever experience. So here we go. We learned in week one that our thoughts matter and our thoughts create mindsets that can be good for us or that can be bad for us. We learned to eliminate negative thoughts. And we were shown that if you're struggling with negative thinking, wear an elastic band around your wrist, snap it, not too hard so you get big sores, but make sure that you do something to think positively. Secondly, we learned the 3-2-1 exercise. So after an event, after an activity, after a conversation, I can say, what three things went well? What three things do I need to do? Two things do I need to do better next time? And what one thing have I learned about myself? This is a great activity to do at the end of each day. Do you remember in that week, we were actually doing that at the end of each day. We're reminding you to do it. 3-2-1. Then we jumped into 8 building blocks to learn to think like a champion. And the first one was being aware of our environment. I ever remember, even remember our judo guy, Ethan, saying, judo is all about your stance and awareness of what's happening around you. And the exercise we learned was the 3 times 3 plus 1. We learned that we need to look around in every environment and to see three things. We learned to hear three things. Listen up now. What two things can you hear? Music and aircon. Being aware of your environment, right? What three things do I feel? Cold? You know, nervous, stress, whatever it is in that moment. And then think of one thing of excellence will really help. We then learned, once we're aware, we need to be motivated. We need to know why we're doing what we're doing. And an exercise we learned was the yearbook entry. What do I want my yearbook at high school and matric when CJ leaves? What does she want people to say about her? And if we wrote that down, actually, and then live into that, that will help to motivate us. It's no good being motivated, but you have no confidence. You need to be able to show up and be bold and confident. So we learned to write 3 power statements that we repeat to ourselves throughout the day or whenever is necessary. Who am I? So they I am statements. They need to be true. Don't say I'm the richest guy in the world if you don't own a pair of shoes. You know, maybe say something that is true. And of course, live into being the richest person in the world and share the love. We learn to show up with our confidence and be intense. And sometimes we need to use techniques to either increase our intensity or to decrease our intensity. And so tactical breathing, to decrease your intensity. Air in through your nose, down into your stomach, and slowly out your mouth. And that will help you just calm down. Who's had a moment in the last week where you needed to just chill? You're like, take a chill pill. I'm going to punch something or do something really bad now. In that moment, tactical breathing. We learned to do power breathing. And then I'm ready to slug away at somebody's jaw, okay? So shall I try it? Someone come here. I'm going to punch you in the jaw in a relaxed state. And then next, after some power breathing, I'm going to punch you in the jaw in a very active state with my tactic power breathing. Who wants to be the... No one. Okay. It works. Obviously, that's what you realize. Then we learned to, in that week, to park it and refocus. Sometimes I need to just say to myself, Mark, park it and refocus now. It's gone. It's done. If you stay with that, you harbor that. It's a grudge. I'm stuck in this whirlwind. I'm going in circles. Just park it, refocus. Later, you can come back and unpack it. Then we were in the attention week in week 5. We've learned to pay attention. That phrase was even used, pay attention. And in that was the Wakanda week, if you remember that. And we learned the WIN principle, or the question to ask. What's important now? What's the most important thing that I need to do now? I've got this thing coming up, this test, this holiday. What's the most important thing now? Then we learn to manage our emotions. Because if I'm a train wreck with my emotions, doesn't matter what my motivation or my confidence or my intensity is like, something else is controlling me. And we learn to touch, pause, engage. Okay? So get in touch with that emotion. What am I feeling? Pause it. Speak to yourself. Hey, hold on now. We're going to deal with this now. It's okay if people think you're crazy. And then you engage with it. You use your emotions. Channel them in the right way. And last week was building block 7, rehearsal. And there we learned that we need to see things in advance, see things that are coming, and use the skills of vividness. All 5 senses should be in the replane, the pre-plane, if you like, of something that's coming. And then control that memory of what's coming. And then you can find out, where do you want to put yourself? Are you inside the experience, or are you seeing yourself actually performing, and do it again and again and again? So right now, where you are, you're going to reflect just briefly. How did the devotions go this week? And then I'm going to be handing over to the one and only, the super heavy belt fighter of the world, Thabile Chaleza. Not chill. So ask each other at your table, reflect a little bit on how you did in your devotions.
All right. This is so exciting. It's so exciting that people are actually chatting and laughing. It means we're doing our devotions. But firstly, I'd like to say good morning. Good morning to all of you. It's just great to be here. And today's topic is routines, building block number 8, routines. So just like when we're doing our devotions, you know, it's when you do them every morning, that's called a routine. When you do them, whether in the morning or in the evening, so we get used to doing them. So here's a scripture that we need to look at. It says, the royal administrators and governors decided that anyone who prayed to any god or human being except the king would be thrown into the lion's den. When Daniel learned that the decree has been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. We get that from Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. So Daniel prayed, just like he has done before. Didn't matter what what the decree was or what the law was. So, as we're sitting around our tables, what daily routines did Daniel practice, and what did he do when it was dangerous to practice them? So let's discuss that very quickly in our small groups. What is it that was Daniel's routine, and when it was dangerous to do that, did he continue? Did he stop? And why do you think that happened? All right. We can start talking now. Can just one person, not one person from each table, just one person, brave human, just a brave human being, just to come and tell us what they discussed around their table. One brave human being before I call your name, please, Jesus, help.
Okay, so we said that he continued praying, and the reason why was because it was more important for him to pray even when it was dangerous.
Wow, it was more important for him to pray even when it was dangerous. So Daniel's routine was praying. He didn't care what the law is. He didn't care whether his life was in danger, but praying was important to him, and it was part of his routine that he did every single day. He went down on his knees 3 times a day, 3 times a day without fail, and he would pray, right? This challenges me to pray. I feel like I'm not praying enough. So I need to build up prayer in my routine in life. So what are the benefits of routines? What do you think the benefits of routines are? Why should I be in a routine? Why should I join a routine? Even a child, you know, when a child is young, when it's a baby, when Drew was a baby, I'm saying Drew because his parents are here, they will agree with me. He had to get into a routine. Children get into a routine. Time to eat, time to sleep. If you don't put them in a routine, they become restless. They become restless and they will cry all day. So the benefits of, what are the benefits of routine? The first benefit of routine is routines give us consistency. Routines give us consistency. Routines help us to act consistently through daily habits that prepare us to delivery of excellent results. Right? For us to be excellent, we need to have a routine in our lives. So routine take us to excellence. We'll come back to that later on what we mean by routines take us to excellence. There was a book, right? There's a book that was written. It's called, I hope I'm going to pronounce this word right, The Mundanity of Excellence. Right, the mundanity of excellence. That excellence is not, it's not sometimes nice or sexy or anything like that, but it's something that we need to strive for. And Asher last week spoke about us rehearsing. If you're not going to rehearse something, if you're not going to be in a routine, if you're not going to do something over and over again, you'll never be excellent at it. You can be good. Good is not as great as excellence. But we strive for excellence, right? So, number two, routines give us control, right? Routines gives us some way to direct our attention so we cannot be distracted and can be in control of what we are doing, right? They give us direction so that we can't be distracted. Who here plays sports? You play sport? Oh, wow, amazing. A lot of people play sports. So when you play, when you're in a game, right? When you're inside a game and it's time you're playing against your rival, your big rival. For you to win, what should happen? Huh? For you to be your best, what happened before? Before you were even in that game? For you to do your best in that game, what happened? Practice, right? We practice. People practice. So when you're inside the game and then you hear a big bang, what happens? Are you going to concentrate on the big bang while the ball is coming at you? No, you concentrate on the ball. You concentrate on the game. So routines, they help us not to be distracted because you know what to do. When you're playing cricket and you're bowling, you know what to do. And just because suddenly someone is running on the other side and you are bowling, you shouldn't be distracted. You focus, right? So routines give us control of our lives. Number three, routines give us concentration. Right? Same example. When you are used to doing something, you are able to concentrate. Brushing your teeth in the morning. You're brushing your teeth and your mom suddenly calls you or somebody calls you. Are you going to stop brushing your teeth? No, you're going to continue brushing your teeth. Mom, I'm brushing my teeth. But you're still brushing your teeth. Right? So, they give us concentration. Routines help us to concentrate. I'd like you guys to do something for me right now. Please cross your arms. All right. Now cross them the other way. Right? So when you cross your arms the first time, it's easy because it's routine, right? It's something that you do almost every day without even thinking about it. But now when you cross them the other way, it even took us longer. People were like, what does she mean now? And it's a bit uncomfortable because we're not used to crossing our arms the other way. We're not used to crossing them the other way. I'm used to crossing them like this. And now when I have to do that, it's fairly uncomfortable and it takes me longer to do it. So the more you are in a routine, the faster you're going to do things. The quicker you're going to do things, the quicker you're going to finish. But you don't just become in a routine if you don't remember what Asher spoke about last week, which is rehearsal. You need to rehearse it. You need to do it all the time. All right? So routines help us to think and act consistently. They help us to control our attention so we cannot be distracted. They help us limit our thinking so we can think about other things. Now, what does that mean? They help us to limit our thinking so we can think about other things. Just like crossing your arms. When you cross your arms, you're not even thinking about it. You're doing it. Breathing, right, comes naturally. You just breathe without even thinking about it, because it's something that you do every single day without thinking. And that gives space for you to concentrate on other things and think about other things. Right? There are people who are multitaskers. They say females are multitaskers, best multitaskers. When you're writing something and somebody's talking to you, some people don't even stop writing. They continue writing, especially if they love writing, and they will be able to answer you because they know. This is in them. It's the routine that they've adopted. So routines help us to actually leave space for us to be able to do other things, to think about other things. All right. So here's a scripture. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as this was his custom. He stood up to read the scroll for the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, Luke 4, verse 6 to 17, right? Jesus himself had a routine. Who are we not to have a routine? He went to the synagogue as it was his custom, meaning that he went to the synagogue all the time. Like we coming to church, right? You don't even think about it. You just come to church. As a routine. If Jesus had a routine, who am I not to have a routine? Who am I not to be able to have a routine? Remember, we are created like him, after his likeness. So whatever he can do, we can do. Plain and simple. So Jesus had a routine of going into the synagogue each week to read the scriptures. To do what? To read the scriptures. So let's put it in our routine as well, to read the scriptures. The more we read the scriptures, the more we grow. Right. So, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, therefore, is not an act, but a habit. It's by that word, that person. Aristotle something. I struggle with reading other things, eh? So, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, therefore, is not an act, but it's a habit, right? For something to be a habit, it takes about 21 days for us to create something to be a habit, meaning you'll do it even without thinking. So, if you haven't been reading your devotions, for example, consistently, just do it for 21 days. I'm putting a challenge to you. Just do it for 21 days. Every morning at maybe 6 or every night before you go to bed. Just do it for 21 days. Put a calendar and tick it off for 21 days. And you'll see, after 21 days, you will automatically do it. Let's learn to adopt good habits, right? Let's make reading of scripture a habit. Then it becomes part of our daily routine. Okay, let's rehearse it. Excellence is doing the right things in the right way over time so that when it is time to perform, it is not a scary moment of pressure that overcomes us, but it is the state that we ingrain in ourselves where we do the habits that are the essence of our being. So whenever we do something over and over again, we become excellent at it. And when you're excellent at something, whenever you have to do that, it's not scary anymore. It doesn't become scary anymore. Right? So even people coming here to preach, me standing here, I get nervous every single time. But because I do it over and over again, it becomes easier. I know that even though I have butterflies in my stomach at the moment, as soon as I have that mic, butterflies are gone. So it's something that you have to do all the time, over and over again. So let's strive for excellence. Let's adopt good routines in our lives. All right? So this is what happens when you adopt good routines. When something is your routine, it gives you good habits. It becomes a habit. Whatever you've put in your routine, it becomes a habit. Just like Drew when he was little, right? If it's 5 o'clock and he needs to be fed and he's not fed, he's going to scream. So, I was there, I saw him. I'm kidding. But it becomes a habit, and habits create consistency, and consistency leads us to excellence. Consistency means something that you do all the time, over and over again, and that will lead us to excellence. That will lead us to excel. If you play rugby, right, you need to practice. You need to be at practice every day. Whatever sports you play, you need to be at practice every single day, all the time. And when you are there, you need to do your best all the time. Try to do your best. There's a friend of mine who plays rugby. He was never good at sports. He was never good at sports. But he practiced to the point like that even when he's at home, he's exercising, he's practicing, he's kicking that ball, he's doing things to the point that he was scouted by the Sharks development side, and he went to play in KZN. He got a scholarship to go to Cares, to King Edwards, because he would practice all the time. He was never good, but because he had a routine, he created a routine about himself, then he adopted those habits, then those routines became habits, and he did it consistently, without fail. And he was excellent. So let's do that in our lives, in everything, especially when it comes to things of God. Praying, reading the Word of God. All right, sure. The All Blacks. I love this team. You know what? I hate to love this team. You know? Because they're good. They're amazing. And the All Blacks debuted in 1903, and they won 73% of their rugby matches. But they couldn't win a World Cup. Shame. We think they're great. They couldn't win a World Cup. But 73 of their matches, they won. All right? And they won one in 1987. They won one match in 1987. And then, again, for a long time, they couldn't win a World Cup. But any other game, they would win. You know, a World Cup, meaning the entire world is playing. So it must have been scary for them. Right? And they found a psychologist. So they do the haka, you know, before each match, right? So there's a psychologist that they found, and that psychologist found out that they only do the haka before every game, but not before practice. Before every game, they would do the haka, but never before practices. Never before practices. But then something happened. Right? Let's watch the haka first, and then I'll come back. The Rugby World Cup final. Even South Africa beat them in 1995. By the way, the French got that from South Africa when they were, like, moving forward. It's us. We taught them. No jokes. And so, you see, the haka is like a war cry. It's like a war cry, and it's scary when a person does that, and they look scary. And usually they would actually even have painted their faces black with stuff there, and they would look really scary. So it's quite intimidating to play against the All Blacks. And because they only did the haka during just before the match, this psychologist decided that, you know what, rather you do the haka in every practice, before every practice. And they started doing that, and that made them to win the last two World Cups, which was 2011 and 2015. Because they now put that into their routine. So the haka makes you, like, a war cry. It pumps you up as a person. And you feel good after that. And you're ready to play. Right? So they put that into their routine, and they won the last two World Cups, 2011 and 2015. You know, 10 years later, from 2005, well, not really 10 years, but they won. And they ranked the best in the world in terms of rugby. So, good routines help us to control the controllables. They keep you consistent, keep things going in the right direction, even when it seems like everything is falling down, by Mike Lee. So even when things seem like they're falling down, a routine will keep you consistent. A routine will keep, because a routine is something you know, so you are sure of it. You are sure that I'm doing it right. Who plays cricket? Wow. When you guys, when you're holding a bat, right, it feels very comfortable. It's not like when a person who's never played cricket before or who plays once in a while, like I haven't played cricket in donkey's years, like in a long time. When I hold a bat, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. And I have to actually practice a little before I can actually get to hit the ball. But for you guys, I believe that it's quite easy and it's quite comfortable. Why? Because it's a routine. You do it all the time. So even when you're losing the game, you don't forget how to hold the bat. Even when it's tough, you haven't hit a six yet, and you can see that you only have 4 overs left, and the score is not looking great, and you need to hit that 6 to win. Even when that pressure is there, you are still able to hold your bat, keep your calm, and play the game. Because it's part of you. It's part of what you're used to doing. So routine is about the mindset. It fixes your mindset. You get to concentrate and focus. All right. So here's a scripture. Paul and his companions came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue, as it was his custom. Paul went into the synagogue, and on 3 Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. So Paul went in there with his counterparts in the synagogue, and they started talking about God. And he used to do it all the time, as it was his custom, it was his routine to go into the synagogue. So now, Paul had a routine going into the synagogue to teach people from the Bible about how Jesus was the Messiah. Remember, Jews don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah to come. But when you read the scripture, when you go further down, it says some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. Why? Because he repeatedly did the same thing. He told them all the time that Jesus is the Messiah, and he has to die, to suffer and die for our sins and rise again from the dead. And not only the Jews, but prominent men and women followed them. So if we practice, remember, we are here, we exist to honor God and make disciples. We can't make disciples sitting here. And then we go home and we do nothing. But we make disciples if we put it in our routine to go out there and tell people about God. Every opportunity you get, you tell people about God. People are going to follow you. People are going to start listening and follow you. So, practice, build routines in your life. We have pre-performance, during performance, and post-performance. Pre-performance is before, right? Before. Right now, prepare your mind. Remember, we're dealing with the mind? Prepare your mind that I am going to start this particular routine. I'm going to start praying 3 times a day, for example. Right? And then during performance, it's now you doing it. And then post-performance, it's after, when you look back and you'll see how amazing things God will do through your life. So, post-performance practice. Here's a post-performance practice. Think about 3 things that went well. In whatever sphere you do. Let's take our devotions. 3 things that went well. Just think about them quickly. three things that go well. You can only do this if you actually read your devotions. Right? Because we've read our devotions now, think about two things you can do better next time. Pastor Mark. Stop. Pastor Mark is going to stop blue ticking our devotions. All right? What are the things that you can do? Okay. Now, think about that one thing that you've learned about yourself. I've learned that during the day, I don't have time at all. So the best way to do my devotions is in the morning. So I just need to wake up 30 minutes earlier so that I can do my devotions. Because during the day, I can't. And at night, it's a problem. Because I'm so busy during the day that I am tired. So I can't do them at night. There's certain things that I will read during the day, yes. But at night, I need to sleep. I need to rest. So that's one thing I've learned about myself. So practice this. Make this part of your routine every day. Think about three things that went well. You remember, we're going to start new things. We're going to start doing new things, right? We're going to adopt nice routines, good routines for our lives. So think about three things that went well. Think about two things that you can do better next time. And then think about that one thing that you've learned about yourself. We need to be able to learn about ourselves each day. So in the morning, the Lord... In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and you wait expectantly. That's Psalm 5, verse 3. That is David. David had the routine to pray every morning. So I decided to adopt that routine that David had to pray every morning. All right. Here's a challenge. Keep building habits of excellence that will lead you to success. Keep building habits of excellence. Have good habits. Put them in your routine. All right? So, the next steps is join our WhatsApp group. Make it part of your routine to be part of our WhatsApp group and read the devotions. Right? So that you can have your devotions and read them and do the exercises that are on those devotions. Do we all agree? So we're going to adopt good habits. We're going to do our devotions for 21 days if you haven't done your devotions, right? So let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that, Lord, you've taught us about 8 building blocks. Lord, help us, Lord, to actually practice each building block and make it part of our routine, of our daily routines, Jehovah, in our lives. And I thank you, Father, for each and every person who is here, because it's not by mistake that they're here, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Be with us as we go home and we go into our own routines, and help us to adopt new and good and healthy routines in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is the last Sunday for the term. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss you guys. But when we come back, we're going to be dealing with the David series. We're going to be training, calling. There's giants, there's friendship, there's despair, lust, forgiveness, tragedy, and test. Those are all the things that David went through, and those are all the things that we go through in our own lives. So we're going to learn from the life of David on how to live a godly life. Amen. So, thank you, guys. See you next time.